Hello, I'm Paul Scott. Today I'm talking to William Hindmarch, Chief Executive of Best of the Best PLC, ticker BOTB. Quick disclaimers, this audio cast is for general information only. I'm not giving financial advice or making a recommendation. I'm not charging a fee, and I do hold shares in the company personally. The share price is currently £1.76, giving a market cap of about £17 million, 1.7. I should also mention this share is particularly illiquid, so it can be difficult to trade. Welcome, William.
And good afternoon, Paul.
Let's start by asking you to give an overview of the business, please.
Certainly, BOTB, as we're now called, previously Best of the Best, but BOTB as our brand name now, really started out of airports, and we run a weekly competition to win a supercar, effectively, or a car. We have a number of cars, about 190 different cars on offer, with ticket prices ranging from about £3 to £19. And every week we have a guaranteed winner of one of those cars. We have about 7 airport sites, which you may have seen on your travels, and then we do quite a lot of our trade now through the internet.
Okay, so the internet's about 2/3 of current turnover, I believe.
Exactly that, yeah.
Okay, and the competition's not a lottery as such, is it? It's structured as a spot the ball competition. Could you expand on that and tell us how that works?
Yeah, exactly that. So we're based as a skill-based competition, which is a spot-the-ball competition, a skill-based competition. So every person who enters, when you buy a ticket, you mark on the picture where you think the centre of the ball should be. At the end of the competition, a panel of judges sits, and we actually use Sol Campbell now as one of the referees.
Sol Campbell, sorry. Yeah.
Not every time, but to bring a bit of professional to it. Yes. We use 2 other professional referees as well. And they sit and they mark where they think, in their professional opinion, the centre of the ball should be. And it is whoever is closest to that position is the winner of the competition.
Okay. I mean, given that, I play online and it's quite sort of high definition in pixels, isn't it?
Sure.
So, I mean, players select individual pixels. So, yeah. I mean, given that the shots are generally header shots, you know, it's a fairly sort of smallish area where the ball's likely to be, I find, most weeks.
Sure, yeah.
So there must be occasions where more than one player selects the exact pixel.
There is, or indeed is equidistant from the winning pixel, because you don't have to be bang on. So, you know, that can happen as well. So we have, you know, two people who are 3 pixels away or whatever the math is. So what we do in that situation, two routes. If the 2 of you are in the tie break, so let's say you and I are in a tie break, if the 2 of us, and we've both bought more than one ticket, we defer to the second ticket. So we look at both the tickets and says, right, your first ticket was tied, the second ticket, which is closest? If you've only bought one ticket, then what we do is we have a separate, a new competition effectively, privately for the 2 of us. It's a new picture.
Right.
New picture, which is emailed to both entrants. Well, it's done on the website again. A link is sent to both entrants. Both entrants have a go. And the same process, the closest person to judge position is then the winner.
I see, okay.
Any person involved in a tie break who doesn't win also receives £500 in cash and £500 in credit, although clearly not quite as nice as winning the car.
No, okay.
I noticed, Paul, you didn't win your Jaguar F-Pace last week, so sorry about
that. No, I didn't. No, I'm going to the Maserati this week.
I did have a quick look before we got on the call, and I noticed that you've definitely the Maserati is this week's favourite car for you.
It is. Well, I mean, the thing. I mean, most people say to me, why don't you just sort of enter the National Lottery? And I say, I do this competition each week because it's so much fun.
Well, I was going to say to you, I know this is mine to you, not yours, but I mean, I'd be interested to know what really appeals to you about the competition as well. What are the sort of the good bits, and what do you like and what you don't like, really?
Well, personally, I mean, I'm a complete petrol head, always have been. So
that
I love
help.
The whole car thing. I think what it is, it's the way the game's structured. I know absolutely nothing about football, but, you know, I can usually guess fairly close to where
the
ball is. And getting an email each week that shows me with a sort of dartboard thing how close I got, and the fact that you rebate some of the money each week.
Yeah, I think that's been really popular, the gain credit, in terms of, you know, giving, depending on how close you are, from 100% to 15% to 10% of your sort of what you played back. It's definitely a nice little, you know, keeps people going.
It does keep dipping in.
So it works quite well then.
And I really like the 40% discount for buying 10 tickets as well.
Yeah, sure.
I always buy 10 tickets.
Yeah, it's good value like that.
Some weeks, because of the credit, it only costs me £3 or £4, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting.
Pounds.
I mean, that's the way we've tried to move the business. We started out effectively the business as a, you know, when I first started it, going back 15 years ago now, the first site we took, which, you know, I started and ran myself, was outside the sort of PA Executive Club lounge at Heathrow Terminal 4, which then was the prime terminal, really, in terms of, you know, the most upmarket. And it was very much aimed in those days at the sort of, you know, the business traveller with the BA Gold card going through and buying a £60 ticket to win an Aston Martin. Which was a good business. But we felt not as scalable as we would like, because it's a fairly rarefied market, that. And so what, you know, you having played for quite a while now, you'll know, but for other people who don't, what we've tried to do really is without losing those clients, we've tried to broaden the market and go down into a bigger strata, which is aimed at people who like cars, obviously, but not a sort of spend that people are very happy to do on a sort of weekly basis. And it's more the, you know, our average order value online is £10. So, you know, it's more that sort of, you know, a few quid a week type thing that is a bit of fun. And, you know, people who like cars, we get hopefully good content, some nice cars, and it's just a bit of a dream and a bit of fun.
And also, I like the authenticity of it, because you've been around for about 15 years. We've all seen the cars in the airports, which are still there. I think you're still in 7 airports, aren't you?
We are indeed, 7 airports and 1 shopping centre,
Oh, right, yeah. And I also like the winners' videos that are on the website each week.
Yeah,
it gives confidence, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's been an interesting addition. We, probably only about 2 years ago, and I remember it very well, a girl who worked for us for many years, she doesn't anymore, sadly, but and it was at Christmas time, and a lady had won a Range Rover Sport, sort of somewhere in the home counties, and she said, why don't you just go and knock on a door? And we'd never done it, though. I don't really know why, but we'd always just called the winner, and everything was done, but it's all done in the background. So, you know, on the website was a photo of the winner and not much else. And we went down there, and I remember it was pouring rain and freezing cold, but we knocked on a door and just got a great reaction by putting the video up. And actually, I made a slight rod for my own back, if I'm being honest, because having been slightly made the face of the business, which I think is good because it adds continuity to it. But now, every Tuesday, you know, my diary, I have no idea where I'm going to be, and somewhere I have to go and knock on the door somewhere, and could be Timbuktu. And it can be, because, you know, we know the results on a Monday, and then we have to find out where this person is, where they're working, what car they've won, get the right car to the right place, and then try and surprise them. So it's a bit of sort of challenge Annika on a Monday/Tuesday morning, but good fun. And I do think, to your point, I do think it adds a lot of credibility. And also I think people love seeing the reaction of the winners. You know, it's a genuine, and every winner is different. I mean, it's quite interesting. I mean, some you think you've told them bad news, some go crazy. You know, it's a very, very mixed stable.
Yes. No, I mean, I enjoy seeing people winning stuff, so it's good. Okay, so talking about the game itself then, we've got some reader questions. Alan says, I'm put off by ticket buyers not being told the percentage of ticket sales that are returned in prizes. He goes on to say, can players find out the prize ratio, and what is it? If you yourself were gambling, wouldn't you wish to know the odds, he says.
Sure. Valid question, a question we get asked all the time. Because of the nature of the spot the ball sort of situation in terms of game of skill, we are not a lottery, and therefore we don't sort of have an odds-based system, because it's all based on the skill as opposed to the number of tickets. So, unfortunately, you're going to have to not give a straight answer to that one, just because that is the way we're structured regulatory-wise.
Okay. I mean, I was thinking about this earlier, just bouncing ideas around myself, and I thought, is there not a solution that you could say something like, we guarantee to pay out at least half of ticket sales in total prizes and make up the difference in consolation prizes?
Yes, I guess there could be something along those lines. I mean, as you know, our cost of sale varies dramatically on a week-by-week basis. So we have, you know, about 190 different cars, ranging from, I think, the top value, £140,000, £150,000, down to cars of about £30,000. So it's quite an interesting one for us from an investor point of view as well, because we don't know what car is going to come in each week. We know that on average, because statistics will tell us, we'll probably give away a sort of £70,000-£80,000 car a week. However, yeah, that can go wildly high. If we gave away four Bentleys in a row at £140,000, clearly that month, you know, it's not going to be good for us. Likewise, if we give away three, you know, £30,000 car, four £30,000 car, it's a much better one. So it's an interesting question. And yes, there could be something around that where we try and do something, you know, that makes it a bit more transparent.
Okay. What have we got next? Andrew and Nick both effectively asked the same question, so I've combined this. They've said, has giving away a supercar every week been a good tactical move in terms of increasing player spend and gaining new players?
I think it has. It was a big decision because it overnight more than doubled our cost of sale. So, you know, we went from, well, originally the business started out doing a car every sort of 8 weeks, and we've gradually been able to shorten it down as we've got more well known and sold more effectively.
So when did you make the change to one a week?
It was November last year, so November 14.
14,
and it was, yeah. Yeah, and it was very, you know, you sit around the office and you go, well, if we do this, what does everyone think is going to happen? And everyone puts a number down, and it's very, very hard to tell. and we did it, we came up with a, was it kind of been the Olympics then? It was our 15th birthday. We said, as a 15-year celebration, we're going to give away four cars this month. And, you know, on that basis, if it's really bad, well, we'll lick our wounds and, you know, and reverse, which obviously we weren't hoping would happen. But actually, we're pleasantly surprised. It's obviously been margin erosive because, you know, we're not selling twice as much, obviously. But it is on the higher margin online side that we're getting more sales as people are quite happy to play more regularly. It has been a good thing. It's more than double because obviously it was 24 and it now goes to 52. So there's another four cars in there, which is yet another sort of, you know, four times 70. So, you know, quite a lot of extra margin that goes out the door. But I think it's been good. I think weekly feels like the right amount. I don't know what you think as a customer, but I think sort of more often actually would be almost too much, I think.
I agree. I think once a week is absolutely fine. And you get into the routine of hoping that I'm not going to get an email from you on a Monday.
We started actually looking at some various marketing options around sort of doing this sort of, you know, we get quite a lot of good comments on a Tuesday with people sort of hoping that, you know, I might turn up. And so looking at sort of some marketing campaigns around the sort of curtain twitching on a Tuesday morning kind of stuff. You know, it's I think probably about the right frequency. You know, yes, I think it's been a good thing. And it's, you know, it also provides us with a lot more video content because we've got more winners going out, so a lot more press and PR. One of the things that's really benefited from doing the winners' videos is we've had a lot more PR as well. Now, we're not obviously on the front page of the Times, but when we do go and give a car away in wherever it is, a lot of the local papers do turn up and they will, you know, put it in their publications. And that's, I think, really helped.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk about marketing next then, because in many ways, really, that's the most important element of your business, really, isn't it?
Sure is, yep, absolutely.
I noticed in the interim results just out a few days ago, you said that you were something along the lines of you were starting to get good results from marketing initiatives. Could you sort of expand on that area?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our business, you know, is different. It's not, there's no sort of exact peers, if I can put it that way. So if you're running a sports betting company or those sort of things, there's well-renowned ways of going and doing it and getting new customers and a certain lifetime value that everyone works to. Oz is a bit niche, I'll be honest with that. And so as we've been working on our marketing strategies, one of the things we've been doing actually is trying to bring the product to the marketing. So we found that where we were, as I spoke earlier, where the sort of £60 ticket, the more expensive ticket, and a competition once a month was a much harder proposition to market online. What we needed was something that was turning around much quicker at a cheaper point. So we've gradually been getting to there, and we might even go a bit further in terms of the way we sort of structure the product. But now I think we've got a good product. And, yes, more and more money is going into marketing. It's all very much a directly return on investment-based approach. So previously it was all about airports. The airports would you know, get new customers, and those customers would convert and move and play online. However, obviously, growth-wise, airports are, you know, we've sort of been in most of them, and there's not that many more to go for in terms of airports. So it's all about online marketing. And very much, you know, test and learn at this stage, gradually putting more and more in. And we probably are, you know, spending, you know, a lot of money now on online marketing, and the hope is to spend a lot more to grow the business that way. And that's through a whole range of channels, through a lot through Facebook, where we now have, I think, 145,000 followers on Facebook now. Which is a great. I don't know if do you go on the Facebook forum at all?
Yes, I liked the page and have a look at it every now and again. So
yeah, no, it's a good forum, and a lot of people, you know, will answer questions, and our customers will answer questions for us, which is fantastic. But so a lot of money going through all range of digital channels, and for the first time now, just starting TV. I don't know if you've come across our TV adverts yet. Probably not.
I've not seen those yet. Which channels are they going to be on?
Well, they're on a range of the digital channels, and obviously the budget at the moment is very small as we sort of test and learn on that, but obviously at a channel we can turn up quite significantly as and when. So yes, but you're right, it is the engine room of what we're working on at the moment in terms of building the business and building the awareness.
Yeah, okay. Because I saw with the interim results, I mean, turnover growth was very good, 30%, although that was year on year. But I noticed that sequentially on the second half of the prior year, it was almost flat. So, I mean, does that mean that turnover's plateaued, or is there a seasonality to the business?
I'm surprised by your number there. I thought turnover up 30% versus prior period.
Yes, no, it is, I've compared it sequentially with the second half of last year. So, okay. You know, if you take last year's full numbers, take off last year's H1, that gives me H2 last year, and it's kind of more or less flat with H1 this year.
Okay, fine, right, okay. I'd have to check that through, but I'm sure that's right. Turnover has been good, certainly from online. I mean, airports are fairly steady. You know, that's just how they've been for a long time. But the online's been growing well, and, you know, gradually, you know, improving performance there, I think, yeah.
Okay. Right, what's next? Let's talk a bit about the share liquidity. Obviously, we know it's only 17 million market cap. There are various figures on the free float, but it's not huge. I think you mentioned about 25%. I had a figure
yeah,
around
14%.
Yeah,
I thought so, depending on the definition.
Could be calculated, yeah. Yeah, sure. Exactly. So several people have said to me they really like the company, they like what you're doing, they like the growth and so on. But given that the free float is so small, it can be very almost impossible really to pick up any decent amount of shares in the market.
Sure.
So two questions really on that. Is there any sort of plans to increase liquidity in the shares? Well, let's do that question first.
It's a question we ask quite a lot, I suppose. The business is quite cash generative, as you would have known from seeing the results. So, you know, typically you would obviously issue more shares to raise cash for further investment. Now, if that comes along, then that's a possibility. But I think, you know, at the moment there's no plans particularly to do that, no. And I think, you know, my remit is to improve the revenues, improve the profits. Hopefully, as that happens, the share price will rise. And it may shake out a few people who have, you know, been in the stock for a little while, hopefully made some good gains and start to sell a bit down, and then other people can pick it up. So I think that's probably my plan at the moment. The liquidity will come as a result of good performance.
Okay. Is there any likelihood of any big sellers that you're aware of being looking to start reducing at some point?
To be honest, I have no idea. No, none I'm aware of, no.
Okay. And another follow-on question from that is Ed asks, how can you justify the PLC costs given that the shares are so thinly traded and you don't need to raise money from the market? What's the point in being listed, essentially?
That's a very good question. I think when we originally floated, it was for a couple of things. Firstly, at the time, we were expanding more into airports. And the capital cost actually of expanding airports is really quite high. By the time you've built a stand, which doing anything in airports is quite expensive, by the time you've put on, at that point, we had a much higher carrying value of stock in airports. We, as you know, we display the cars. They're not the actual cars you win. You win a brand new car, but we display a car in an airport that is, you know, the type of car. And at that point, we were very much pushing the more high-end cars. And so a couple of Ferraris in there at, you know, 150 grand each, plus the shop fit, plus everything. You know, a new stand could cost us sort of 300 or more £1,000 a go. So there was quite capital intensive. And so the money we raised on flotation, you know, was very useful and carried us through that period. We are not doing that anymore, so there's less need for capital in that respect. The other reason, however, for doing it was, you know, this business is, I think if I get in a taxi and say, what do? They don't know the name, generally. So what do you do? I work for that company in the airports, and they will probably know it from that. It's very well known. They may not know the name. The second question is, does anyone ever win? And I think we have a great trust issue of people really believing that people win. And I think that is probably a fairly cynical view, which I can totally understand. I'd probably say the same thing. So I think we've got a great education piece to do. And you'll notice on the website we use something called FIFO, which is gives us user ratings and TripAdvisor-style feedback. So people can comment on that. Obviously, we do the winners' videos now. But I think the other aspect of the float at the time, whether this is valid now, was to give us, you know, that certain elevation of credibility as a company that, you know, says, yeah, look, we're a PLC, everything's fully audited, looked at, etc. And that was one of the other reasons. So the other thing to note is that, you know, we do run it quite leanly from a PLC point of view, and you know you can make it as not as expensive as you like, but we could have, you know, make that cost fairly low.
Yes. Okay. Turning next then to growth, because this is why I'm in the share. I mean, based on current performance, you know, the shares are not cheap, but based on historic numbers, I mean, it's PE of about 20, I think, roughly, which is a lot for a 17 million market cap company. But it could end up being very cheap, of course, if the growth really accelerates. So could you talk about how you can really turbocharge the growth and maybe overseas expansion and that sort of thing?
Sure, absolutely. And I'd love your view as well, Paul, when I've given my bit. It'd be interesting to hear another person's view. Well, certainly the strategy at the moment is very much around UK marketing to start with. So we are wanting to spend. We have, you know, good cash balances, as you know. We've got, you know, sort of 2.5 million in cash in the bank, and we're keen to apply that money the best we can. And there's quite a lot to go for, but we are building a sort of a model of our spend and how that translates into revenues. And we think there's a long way to go in the UK in terms of, you know, we're still very small and very niche. And we think if we can make this a company that people do know of, if you think of the lottery and other such, you know, type, they're massive businesses with huge amounts of money going in every week. So I think we would like to push harder on that to start with. I think, and we've got a new website coming actually, sort of probably midway through this year. So probably it's about to be finished, the building, 3 months testing. So probably in about 4 months' time, we'll have a brand new website, which will be much more mobile optimized, have many more user features. So we hope that that will start to work better as well. We will also then look beyond that at overseas. We do have a franchise in India, which has been an interesting testbed for us in terms of franchising. And we also think there are further overseas opportunities from a web point of view. There are two ways of doing expansion. One is to physically go to a new country and completely start afresh, i.e., you know, say, right, it'll be a standalone competition in wherever, let's say India for the time being, and we will guarantee a car one every week. Obviously, that's quite a big sort of capital investment and sort of risk factor. Or we can start to internationalize the site so that, you know, people from India or France or wherever it might be can come to a French language site and start to play within a sort of global competition. So those are the sort of routes we're looking at. The nice thing about the product is, or the business, is that we're only delivering a car to one person a week. And the rest of it is pretty much electronic. We don't deal with fresh food, et cetera. So it's relatively easy to scale up like that. But it really does boil down to the return on investment for the marketing. And our marketing cost, of course, is quite up front. So if we spend £100 on marketing today, we will expect to get circa 20 to 30% of that back in month one, and then a long tail over 12 months. So it's quite upfront spend, and we need to sort of walk a steady line between being optimistic and going for growth at the same time as delivering a nice, hopefully, revenue and profit growth for investors and not being sort of having to say, look, sorry, we spent loads of money on marketing, it hasn't come back yet. So we're just trying to sort of walk that line at the moment.
Balance the two,
which I'm sure most businesses have to do all the time. Then the other thing is sort of, you know, other thing. We've got a fantastic database. We've got a database of about 490,000 people. They, you know, who are receiving emails from us. I think there could be some opportunities to work that a bit harder to bring in further revenue streams. And we're also looking quite a lot at our sort of content side. We have a blog, I don't know if you ever read it, but I think there's an opportunity there to start to bring more content to the site and make it a bit more of a hub where people go not just to enter the competition, but also to, you know, see all things Kari. So with some ideas around that as well. So that's the strategy, and that's what we're working towards, and, you know, hopefully we can execute that in the coming year.
Yeah, okay, that's interesting, because I noticed, an idea that popped into my head, which I'm sure you've already thought of, obviously, but is the idea of just having the one website, but having recruiting sort of marketing partners overseas who could recruit and drive traffic to the UK website.
I mean, yeah, that's exactly what we're looking at, in fact. And there are a number of firms, and, you know, they do it for quite a lot of the bigger companies these days, these sort of ad tech type companies. So we are having chats with some of those now. And that is, you know, a lot of those will work on a sort of rev share type basis as well. That is the stuff that we're examining at the moment.
So nothing like that is currently happening. Is that all?
Nothing like that is currently
happening.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yeah, we're not doing that at the moment.
Good. Well, that's
all our marketing at the moment is UK based. We don't do any marketing outside the UK. We have the India franchise, obviously, but that's physical. It's nothing web based at all.
Yes. Is there a sort of typical player profile in terms of lifetime value, or do you have different? You know, do you have people who just do it for a while and then disappear forever, or do you have people who you can entice back? I mean, how does the lifetime value pan out?
We have all of those, as you can imagine. But generally, we've got two ways of looking at marketing. We either look at a lifetime value model, although we find that gets quite confused. You will know that we've run quite a lot of free competitions to get people to come and play. And we find that lifetime model has got a bit confused around that. So previously, that's probably £70 to £100 as a lifetime value is what we sort of look at. But now, actually, what we're looking at more of is the spend model. So we look at the profile of spend that we're expecting back. So if we spend £100 on marketing, we expect £30 back in month one, and et cetera, et cetera. And if we put an advert in a magazine, let's say, and, you know, we only get 10% back in month one, then that's trending, you know, way below where we need to be. If we get 50% back, well, that's a very successful ad. So that's the way we're sort of looking at it now.
I see. Okay. Because, I mean, again, looking at the interims, I might have touched on this before, but I think the turnover was up 30%, but profits were only up 10%.
Sure.
So that got me worrying that perhaps you were sort of starting to get diminishing returns from increased marketing spend.
No, I don't think that's right. I think there were a couple of things going on in that number. The first, I think, at the gross level is the sheer number of cars that we're giving away in the comparable period. So we're giving away, you know, more than twice as many cars. So that, you know, does affect it.
Yes, I see. Yeah.
You know, so you've lost quite a lot there, unfortunately. But that is the step change that we made in terms of the way we did it. I think the second thing is at the when I was in front of me. And then at the sort of operating level, yes, it's marketing spend and a bit of head office, you know, costs going in with new heads and, you know, building the teams here. So yes, it has eroded a little bit.
Okay. I think that's exhausted my specific questions. So really over to you for any sort of closing remarks or any key points you want to make that we haven't already covered.
I don't know, really. I think, I think we've covered most things, Paul, and there's nothing else I particularly wanted to highlight. You know, I think, you know, we're looking forward to executing our strategy for the year and, you know, hopefully we can do a good job for the investors.
Well, actually, I've just found a three or four more other questions. So just
okay.
Very, very quick ones here. A reader's commented on the property. You've got a long leasehold property in the books, I think, at £950,000. Yeah. I can't remember who asked this question, but he said he's visited this and he thinks that's a significant undervaluation.
Right.
So is the hidden property value on the balance sheet?
I would expect the auditors to value it at the right amount, so not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay.
I mean, you know, all property goes up and down. No, I would say if it's not valued, you know, it would be an insignificant difference, I would imagine.
Right. Okay.
I think auditors would make sure of that.
Well, I think quite often they stay on the books at historic cost, you see, so that may not necessarily be the case.
Well, it came up at the interim that we would need at the full year to get an estate agent's valuation for it.
So
I guess
so
that'll
we'll
come
out.
In again and see if there's any change up or down on that one. Yep.
Fair enough. Okay. Another reader asks, are you sticking to cars, or have you considered doing holidays, watches, other things
like that? It's a good question. We have done, I don't know if you can remember back in time, we have done lots of other stuff. And so we've done sort of luxury watches, we've done holidays, we've done motorbikes. What we found and took a decision a little while ago was that cars was the stuff that really worked and that everyone wanted. It was watches, although can be very expensive. For most people, they're a less expensive item and generally are something that people might save up and buy themselves, whereas a luxury car really is, you know, an amazing thing. And we just found that was what worked better than anything else. Holidays, also nice, but we really thought also just trying to simplify the product. When people come to the website, we don't want them spending hours sort of trying to work out how it all works and what to win. Really want them to come in, you know, enjoy looking at the cars, buy a ticket, and then the fun of it is hopefully, as you agree, waiting to see if you've won. Never say never that we won't come back. We took it all away a little while ago, and, you know, there could be an opportunity to bring some of those things back in due course, but at the moment we're just sticking with the cars.
Okay, and last one here. Sorry about this late flurry of questions.
All right,
I just lost one of my bits of paper. One reader, it's more of a suggestion really than a question. He says he really enjoys playing the competition with his son. So he said they're both interested in football and, I presume, quite a young son. They're both interested in football and cars. So he said, you know, have you thought about playing on that sort of angle in your marketing and doing, you know, doing football-focused things, having the cars outside football stadiums or for matches or anything like that?
Yes, we have, and we do some events. We've done more car-focused events, so we've tended to go to the Goodwood Festival of Speed, you know, the motor shows and those sorts of things. We've yet to be outside the sports ground. I think there's a place for it. What we found, honestly, is that when we go to these things, they're quite expensive and take quite a lot of operational time to do, and they are part of an overall marketing plan, and they're one of the items that, you know, one can do. And I think there's a place for them, and we probably will do some more in this year. I think we'll probably go back to Goodwood. Whether we get to a football ground, I don't know yet.
How about the online side, sort of targeting football fan sites or things like that, advertising on those? Is that
yeah, we have done some of that. I've sort of always felt that and you can agree or disagree, and obviously this reader does disagree, but I've always thought we are more car-focused than football-focused. I think people come to our site because they love cars and want to win cars, and the spot the ball is a process they go through, which some people love and really get involved in. Some people do because they have to. But I don't think, I mean, obviously there'll be a subset who do, but I would say that it's 80% because you like cars, and there's probably only 20% doing because they love spot the ball, and if they win a car, then great. So that's been, you know, so we've always majored on the cars as opposed to the football side of things.
I see. Excellent. Okay, brilliant. I think we're probably done, unless there's anything else you wanted to say, William?
No, I don't think so, Paul. I think that's all good.
Okay, brilliant. Well, thanks for your time. Much appreciated.
Pleasure.
And perhaps we could speak after the final results in later on in the year.
Look forward to it very much. Great. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks
a good weekend.
Again.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye.